Jackie, I have to confess that you are turning me into a digital nomad. Upon your suggestion, I got myself a little a Bluetooth keyboard.
Yes.
And so now I'm never leaving the apartment again with my laptop. I'm only bringing this little keyboard and a stand for my iPhone, and I'm doing typing on the fly at all of the third wave coffee shops I go to.
Yes. Oh, the future is now.
The future is now. I'm a mobile cyborg.
Yep. And, I love that stuff.
Yeah. So thank you for that suggestion. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to order it online though.
Yeah.
You know, I could not find one anywhere at an electronics store in New York.
No.
So how about that? I think it's such a useful piece of tech equipment that people could be making a killing off of it. They had it in the brick and mortar spots.
I don't think that enough people think about it.
Yeah. But why would you? I would never. Why take a laptop out?
I
don't want to take it out ever. Mine's big, though. It's like a MacBook Pro from 2011.
Oh, it's a 3-inch thick brick from the movie that we watched?
Yeah, it's bulletproof.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Talking about tech a little bit, because today, well, by the way, this is Gabe Pacheco with Eat, Pray, Judge, and as always, my co-host,
Sammy Himarne.
Yeah, and on third mic today, we've got the lovely Jackie Furback.
Hey, sup.
Sup, and we are watching a movie that today we're going to be talking about, The Net, which came out in 1995, and I'd never seen it, and this is Jackie's recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So what a fantastic year for this movie to come out, though. 1995, right? I think all I did was listen to TLC's Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Hey.
On repeat, on my Discman. I was like, is that song over? Let's put it back on. You know,
interesting.
What is this song about? Is it about being living in a village and never leaving your village? Don't chase waterfalls. Don't stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. Or is it about AIDS?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Now that I think about it, it does have a weird sort of like, just like, stay in your shell, man. Don't push outside. Oh, I had never thought of the lyrics that way before. You just blew my mind.
Sure. So, you know, rest in peace, Left Eye from TLC. But what a fun song. What a groovy tune.
Can I tell you that this was the year that Left Eye, speaking of Left Eye, it was actually 1994. 1994 was the year that Left Eye lit her boyfriend's mansion on fire.
Good for her.
Or her tennis shoes.
Oh,
it,
wow.
His tennis shoes in the bathtub, and then it burnt the entire mansion to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of flammable stuff.
Yeah.
Andre Rison?
Yeah.
And was he famous for anything himself?
Football. He played football.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep.
For the Patriots.
The Falcons, I think,
Falcons.
At this time. They were in Atlanta.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
1995 was the year that Creep topped the charts. Number one song of the year.
Wait, TLC?
TLC.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was a heyday for TLC.
Yeah. It was that crazy, sexy, cool era.
Uh-huh. They were the Babe Ruths of R&B. Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go see them double headline with Boyz II Men for the Two Tour.
Uh-huh.
And T-Boz got sick, so I didn't get to see him. But I did get to see Montel Jordan open with This Is How We Do It.
Because did he do another song at any other point during that?
I feel like he just played that one over and over again.
Sure.
But that could be my like fallible memory.
Well, I feel like this is the era where you didn't hear things on repeat, so it's fine. You could be a live performer and just do your one song mm-hmm. four times.
Yeah.
Like at an MC Hammer concert,
yeah.
He probably did Can't Touch This like three times at the beginning, middle, and end.
But he had a few other ones, right? I mean,
oh,
he had
yeah.
like several albums.
Well,
I don't think Montel Jordan ever had like an actual album. I mean, I'm sure he probably did.
Yeah.
He did.
I mean, let's hope so.
He probably had seven other albums before
right.
this one, and he had a very fervent underground following.
Right.
And this was just the one that blew up.
What else was happening in 95? Politically, while visiting D.C., Russian President Boris Yeltsin was found on Pennsylvania Avenue drunk in his underwear trying to hail a cab to find pizza.
That's what I'm talking about. He wanted to get one of those big Ethiopian slices.
Jumbo slices.
Yes.
Yeah. The cab ride would have been expensive to get good pizza. You would have had to drive to New York, I think.
This was in the cab era, so there were cab companies like DC Cab and Cabassins.
And Diamond City Cab. Right. 37 Americans were killed by tipped over vending machines between the years of 1978 and 1995.
What?
I just picture a bunch of squashed fat people really just rethinking their decisions.
Aerosmith gave away the first ever music on the internet in 94.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Good via CompuServe. And 10,000 members downloaded it for free. And it was their shittiest song. It was like their B-side to Crying.
Yes. Right. Well, that's like when you got the iPhones and they have U2 was on, a U2 album was on the new iPhones for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And it just took up all this extra space and nobody wanted it.
But you weren't allowed to not have that album on your phone, right?
Right.
It came with it.
Yeah, you had to dump it on your own.
Yeah.
But force feeding. Force feeding you that Bono.
That
Edge.
Adult contemporary U2 sound.
Yes. And I don't think I've heard a single track off of that free iPhone album.
What else was huge in the news then? I'm trying to think.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
Not guilty.
Yeah.
It was kind of a big deal.
Sure.
Right.
Just a little bit. Yeah, the verdict came out.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Well,
if you don't like rap, my defense is crap, I guess.
I Googled it just to make sure that it was the right year because it felt like the wrong one. And then interview popped up that was recorded in 2006 where he basically confessed it. And the whole thing was the agreement of him going into the interview was that it wouldn't, when he named the book, because it was right before If I Did It came out. Like the reason that he named the book If I Did It as opposed to I Did It was... because he wanted deniability to his kids. Mm.
Sure.
But like he talks about getting the knife from Charlie and then not remembering what happened next.
Yes.
Usually when I murder, I black out a lot.
Yeah.
I get it. It makes a lot of sense. The price of a postage stamp in 95, 32 cents. The price of a Mac.
32 cents.
$2,099. Who said print media is dead? That was a good dead giveaway. Foreshadowing.
Mac was $3,000. Isn't that what it is now?
$2,100.
That's about what it is now.
Right. But that was back then.
Yeah.
So that would have been like $5,000 in today's money.
Which is crazy for a personal computer.
I'm still fascinated at the fact that so many people were killed by vending machines.
Yeah.
Because in college,
I'm not, though.
I would get down on the ground and I would... Did you guys ever do the thing where you put your arm all the way up into the vending machine?
I don't think I ever got that.
Yeah, I assumed that's why they... That's how they died. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the visual that I had.
Yeah, you're on the ground and your hand is up the machine's skirt and then the whole thing tilts over onto you and it's a wrap.
It kind of just feels like those videos when they show sharks get caught in nets. I kind of feel like that's what that looks like.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad. Sadder when the sharks get caught.
Yeah.
Just imagine the shark eating somebody before they get caught in the net and then be like,
still saddened by it.
I think I would watch a video compilation of snack machines falling on top of it, crushing.
I honestly can't believe there isn't one. The images in my head are amazing.
Well, it clearly stopped in 1994, so.
Right.
95.
95.
37 Americans. That's 37 too many Americans getting killed by vending machines.
And that's when Mothers Against Kids Getting Smashed by Vending Machines started.
Here's a couple of tech-specific pieces of information. Yahoo and Amazon were both founded in 94.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation was launched in the end of 94.
Got one.
And this film was written before the words World Wide Web existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First time I ever heard IRL was in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And last week we did Tron.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of on a techno... technophobia or like a techno-futurism kick with this. With this show, because these are all retro movies that are imagining the future that we've now surpassed.
Yeah.
Both make a lot of good points.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, well, we can jump into this. The Net, which is starring America's sweetheart, Sandra Bullock, one of my favorite actresses to watch on TV with. Especially with my grandma. She was always a safe actress. I ended up watching a lot of Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock movies. Right. At my grandma's house.
I mean, there's
a
reason they're multimillionaires.
Yeah, because they span gender and generations.
Just affability.
We all love them.
Right.
Yes. I also think Sandra Bullock has done a really good job of choosing roles for herself that don't make her the victim to a male's attention. Even in the rom-com sort of situations that she's been in, it's always been more about her and her work than her needing a man to be in her life.
That's a really good point. She's actually like a standalone character, which is, I guess, pretty rare back, you know, for women back then.
Well, so there were a couple that Julia Roberts, we were talking about, Pelican Brief, but even then she was like fucking her mentor. And sorry, could I swear?
Yeah, all day long.
Okay, cool. Shit, fucked, can't. Okay. Sorry, you told me I could.
And then you went full-blown Tourette's.
So Julia Roberts did a little bit. Ashley Judd was the other big one, but she was always her quote unquote mortal emotional wound in every film that she did had to do with a guy, where it was like she was either raped or she was victim to something in her past. The thing that haunted her was
a once bitten twice shy.
Yeah, it was a dude that always haunted her. Whereas with Sandra in this movie in particular, it was her mom.
Yes.
Right. Who was suffering from Alzheimer's.
Which is so cool. I mean, not the Alzheimer's thing. I was gonna say cool. But
I see what you mean. It passes sort of like a Bechdel test where it's not that she's been scorned by a dude and has to overcome that.
Yeah.
And so I loved her during this time period. It was like, this was like the Demolition Man era, Sandra Bullock, and then was Speed around this time as well.
Speed was right before this. Demolition Man was the first one, and then she went directly into Speed and this right after.
Yeah.
She did two movies in one year, and everybody was like, she's speeding through her career. There was some dumb article that I read. Speeds into business or something.
Yeah, and she seems so, there's something very wholesome about her too. This is a PG-13 techno thriller, and often thrillers I think of as rated R movies, a little bit steamier, you know, but this one is a thriller for the kids, and possibly because it's around technology, which is something that I would always associate with youth. You know, the olds don't understand tech.
Yep.
So
it's actually one of the few PG-13 rated movies to use the word fuck in a sexual context. By the way,
they got away with it.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Mm-hmm. That's some trivia you'll find if you rent this on Amazon.
Right. Nuggets.
I used Voodoo and watched with commercials for free.
I almost shot myself in the head trying to watch this with commercials.
Yeah, I did the same thing, I hate commercials so much.
It's brutal because when they offer you the movie free with ads, it's a bait and it's a trap, because the ads, to me at least, it was like 15 ads.
Yeah,
oh, they're at least 70 seconds worth of ads, so it makes the watching experience longer. And I'm so used to not seeing commercials in anything anymore because I don't have cable. I just stream everything.
Kills the momentum.
It sucks.
That's true. It was the first time I had done it in a while. So.
I spoke to Gabe, and he was like, I'm watching it with commercials, and he's like, and I hate every second of this.
There's this Black Mirror episode where the guy is like, the TV's always on, and he has to watch the TV for credits, and whenever he takes his headphones out so that he doesn't hear the commercial, it just pauses.
Yeah.
So that you're forced, like, I'm waiting for that moment in technology when the screen recognizes that your eyes aren't watching or that you've taken your earbuds out, and then it just freezes the screen until
it's like
Yeah, it's like a partner in your a romantic partner being like, hey, where are you right now? Where are you? Focus on me. Right. Focus on me.
Put the headphones back on, Sammy.
And yeah. you pull them out and then put them back in, and you can hear it like click back on and yeah. off every and time you pull them out.
It's it like gets the, saucy with you too. It's like now you can fool me. Yeah. I'm back. Are you ready?
Computer from 2001. Don't make this more difficult, Sammy.
It's only 60 seconds of ads. Mm-hmm. Let's see this movie. Should we get into sort of like a plot or what's going on in this movie? We've got Sandra Bullock, and she is a lot
of dead dudes in this movie.
Computer programmer.
Yep.
When it really wasn't a woman's field at all. Like, mm-hmm. it's crazy to look at the percentage of people that are computer programmers that are women now. It's like some ridiculously low number where like 80% are men.
Yeah.
And it's like back then I can only imagine how much women were just like pushed out of that industry and not allowed in at the start.
The girls were not in STEM. Not in STEM.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there are probably a few female game programmers.
There are now.
Yeah, I mean,
there
are definitely now,
but back then, I mean, maybe.
Well, I think at the beginning, there were, when the computers were first being built in that World War II era, there were, you know, all of the women that did the grunt work of coding.
Yeah.
So there was like a whole crop of women that did all this coding that are now only recently getting any acknowledgement for that work.
Aww.
Right.
But
part of the country's backbone back then. When all the men went to war, women and other minorities in general were the workforce, the backbone.
Yeah, yeah. So, but there were all of these like lady scientists that were women and nuts or whatever, number crunchers, who were doing the hard labor of coding, but were sort of ignored because they weren't the face.
Yeah.
But during the 80s and 70s, whenever things were happening with computer science, I don't remember any women being part of that history.
Yeah, no,
and
not at all.
Yeah, so you're right. Sandra Bullock's character is totally unique in this and might be seen as maybe a little unrealistic for how photogenic she is.
Yeah.
But the plot of the movie is, for anybody that hasn't seen it, is Sandra Bullock is a computer programmer who telecommutes. She works out of her home in Venice Beach where she's a shut-in, and the company she works for is in San Francisco. One of her coworkers sends her a floppy disk with a little pie insignia on it, and we see that that floppy disk has this conspiracy on it. And then her friend who wants to work with her on this mysteriously dies. She has already set up a trip to go to the Yucatan for her first vacation in 6 years. While she's on that trip, she meets a mysterious James Bond-like character who...
I would say Hugh Grant, but dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous Hugh Grant.
I wrote down the poor man's British David Duchovny.
I like both of those. Yeah, yeah. I was definitely thinking this is a Hugh Grant-like figure. And he was an amalgam of all the things that she'd said earlier that she loved online.
He was her dream guy.
Right.
Yeah. And we see that she's enmeshed now in this conspiracy where she has the sole floppy disk that can uncover this massive both corporate and political conspiracy. I've said conspiracy multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's hard not to.
And then after this, she her identity gets stolen and no one knows who she is, and she is on the lam trying to recover her identity and also trying to expose what this evil software company is trying to do.
Cathedral,
yeah.
Right.
That's right.
It's thematically, it just goes into the whole, like, how much of ourselves, it's so funny because it's so predicted everything. How much of ourselves should we put online?
Yes.
And trust to not be hacked or affected by dubious forces, basically, like by people that want to manipulate our information. So like the thing that I, yeah, I mean, just like if you think about the Facebook and like the Russian trolls and stuff just in the last couple of years, it's like, it's so relevant as a film to today.
Well, why did you pick this movie for us to cover today, Jackie?
So I picked it for a couple of reasons. One, I am a huge fan. I'm a nerd for 90s, like sci-fi action thrillers. I just wrote a short story series that kind of, it's not as conspiratorial as this, but it also, it like conspiracies are present within it.
What's the series called?
It's called Toxic.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'm super excited about it. I just launched the first story.
Yeah. So that's, congratulations. Where can find Toxic?
They can find it on Amazon. I know, ironic,
on,
right?
On Cathedral.
Yeah, on Cathedral.
on Alta Vista.
Yeah.
God, that's an evil laugh, Gabe.
You get sent, you order it, and 6 days later, a floppy disk arrives.
Yeah.
With a couple of your friends die in car crashes.
Yeah. So I did that. That was one of the reasons that I did it. And another reason is just because I remembered it being like one of my favorite ones for the time. And it was really interesting because I went back and watched it, and it ended up being kind of a conglomeration of every popular film that came out the 2 years before it. Did you guys notice that? So like, example.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park, 1993.
Yeah.
What was one of the like most famous quotes from Jurassic Park? Dude lying in brush with a gun aimed at a velociraptor. British guy.
Clever girl.
Yes. Clever girl is a quote in this film. He uses it in reference to Sandra Bullock. Number two, Pelican Brief, came out in 1993. First scene involves a political guy that you just see this guy go to a park and shoot himself in the face.
Sure.
And then you find out that there was, he discovered to have been in a conspiracy, basically, and he was killing himself before the conspiracy came out.
Well, they led him to believe that he had AIDS.
Oh, yeah. Was that... That was the Pelican Brief, wasn't it?
That was this one.
No. In the Pelican Brief.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. I got
it. It was the same exact scene.
Yeah.
And then also in the Pelican Brief, she goes to meet up with the guy in the red hat. She sets up a meet with this guy that can potentially help her. But then an assassin kills that guy and goes in his place. And so, like, Cyber Bob and her in this movie kind of, like, almost go in that situation.
Yeah.
And then what was the other thing? There was one more. Oh, Dennis Miller as the likable creep.
Yes.
Which he plays really well in real life, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Imagine if that had been, like, an intense Keanu Reeves type.
Right. As opposed to...
Like, him going, I knew I'd see you again, just not in a hotel. Like, I didn't expect it to be in a hotel room.
There is something about the way that Dennis Miller talks, this sarcasm in his tone, that I can't stand at this point, and it feels so hacky. That because I mean, maybe at the time it was unique,
yeah.
But it's so part of like pop culture now that the sort of baby, what?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was kind of like the pioneer in that sarcastic. Quippy way, and I used to find him funny until he started talking too much, and then you figured out his political affiliations, and I was like, damn.
Right.
What a waste of a naturally funny person.
Sure, becoming very right-wing in his older age.
Like, yeah.
But, so, the reason that I brought up him is because he actually has a parallel with Dennis Leary from 1993-94, Demolition Man, where he comes in at right about the same part in the film. And he is that comedic break.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where he's like, he's kind of a, like Dennis Leary in Demolition Man, also Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
But he has that sort of like, this is the guy that has the information that's going to end up helping. Like he fulfills the exposition role with it, but it ends up being charming.
Yeah.
You know?
So we've got a, we've got a lot of, yeah, this movie is like a, a paint by the numbers in a lot of ways. There's a lot of tropes in here that seem like, you know, you'd see in a lot of thrillers, but the things that make it sort of stick out and unique are its vision of what the techno future is going to be, you know? And it feels like they got some of it wrong, but they got some of it really, really right.
They got a lot of it right.
Like the fact that she's a telecommuter.
Yep.
Was something fairly brand new. The idea that you could work from home, that you didn't have to go to your office. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, like, seemed like the fantasy in high school. Like, oh, you mean one day I get to work from home, maybe? Like, I don't have to go in, punch in? Because the cubicle was still the default.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact that she's kind of an introvert shut-in, that was pretty new as well, I think, for a hero in a movie, that she's ordering her pizza online.
Yeah.
Predating Seamless.
And I'm pretty sure that pizza places weren't online yet then.
No, that was definitely predicting the future.
Yeah.
I think that you could email a pizza place at this point and make an order, but it wouldn't be in real time that they would get back to you.
Yeah.
Whereas here, she's chatting with the pizza place.
They get back to you 2 days later. Hey.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted a pizza 2 days ago?
Still want that pizza, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd order it for a couple days in the future, maybe. So, who knows? But unrealistic, I think, for a shut-in. She is, her skin looks good. She looks tan. She looks fit. That's not anything I would expect from someone who sits in front of three different screens at a swivel chair all day.
Yeah. But she goes to see her mom, and she gardens with her mom.
Yes, connecting to nature with the mom. And the mom is suffering from Alzheimer's in this movie. And that's always a sad thing to see, someone who is losing their memory in real time. And I think that they bring up her mom's Alzheimer's is both a metaphor and a plot point in this. A metaphor in that, you know, what do we lose when we jack in to the computer? All of the information about you is not, it can be erased. So if the information about you can be erased, that's, you know, that's like your identity. And her mother is suffering from that physically. But also the plot point, because at one point in this film, no one can recognize what Sandra Bullock looks like. Or her character, Angela Bennett. And the one person you would expect to be the best witness for you is your mom. Mm-hmm. But we've set it up that she's got Alzheimer's. So.
A lot of tight writing.
Yeah,
so good. I love the name of the company being Cathedral, because it triggers that level of worship of technology.
Yes.
Where, like, yeah, everybody's just like becoming more and more focused on it. And like all the benefits, like Bluetooth keyboards.
this company is setting up a problem to solve. And this is interesting, because I'll like teach a commercial writing classes to little kids. And the first thing that we do is we talk about, well, you have to create a problem. And then you say, once you have the problem, then you say, there's got to be a better way. And now there is. And then you introduce the product that's going to solve the problem. And that is what Cathedral is doing, is that the conspiracy in the movie is that Cathedral has hired a group of cyber terrorists, the Praetorian, to attack computer systems around the world.
No, he is the Praetorian. Spoiler alert.
What?
Did you not catch that?
Fill me in. Who's the Praetorian?
The guy that owns Cathedral, the CEO of Cathedral, is the Praetorian.
The first guy that mentioned the Praetorians was the guy that was getting handcuffed and put in a cop car at the end, the Wall Street guy.
So Bill Gates, who is in charge of Microsoft, is also the cyber terrorist who creates all the problems that make you need Microsoft. McAfee.
Right. McAfee, the firewall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You know what's crazy is 95, the second highest downloaded program on Earth was Windows 95. The first highest loaded downloaded program? Doom.
The video game.
The video game.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, this goes back to Tron. Yeah, it's like in Tron, the big sentient network is called NCOM. And the reason that NCOM, the company, become so popular is because they've got these video games.
Yeah.
So everyone wants to play video games, and that's like the initial boost of profits and money that then get them to become a global powerhouse. And I think about that with like iPhones. Before iPhones, it was iPods. And everybody just loved their iPod because they loved music. So mm-hmm. like the entry point to Mac sort of taking over tech was just the idea that I want more music than this Discman can carry.
Smart, though.
Yeah.
What's more popular than music globally?
Nothing. Music.
Exactly.
Makes the rabble and the bourgeoisie come together.
So you're safe.
Yeah, thank God. I'm safe from marketing.
Yes.
Unless you watch movies with commercials in them.
Okay, that was the one time. I was just telling him that I pay for YouTube premium.
Oh, do you really?
I do. I'm one of the five.
I was like, skip.
For YouTube premium because I love not getting commercials.
Yeah.
I love that I have no idea what products are available right now.
I mean, it's kind of why Netflix is what it is today.
Yep.
No commercials.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They tried to introduce that at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and their memberships dropped significantly. And Hulu tried to do like.
Well, they offer ad free.
They offer viewership. Is it ad free or reduced ads?
I think they offer both.
Okay.
Yeah. You can choose your
There's
ad.
Two tiers.
Pick your poison.
Yeah.
AIDS. What a thing. People getting it in this movie, not getting it. What's happening? We've got this politician. He's a homophobe.
Yeah.
And then and the computers, they hack into his medical files and they say, "Hey man, you got HIV." And he instead of trying to get on some drugs or figuring out whether it's true or not, getting a second opinion, he tells his son, "Hey, do 1 hour of homework, and then you can play an hour of video games." And then he blows his brains out on a park bench. And, yeah, that's ridiculous. Completely not credible. Opinion. Yeah. Get a second opinion. Also, what was he doing that made him think he got AIDS?
That's, interesting question. Sure. And talk about foreshadowing for certain senators... in bathrooms.
That's
in
right.
Men's bathrooms.
But this idea of a politician committing suicide, and you brought it up in the Pelican brief as well, reminded me of Vince Foster, who was a Clinton aide who committed suicide in 1993, and that was a big scandal around that time.
Whoa.
So they're pulling from the headlines and picking references that everybody at that time would get.
Yeah.
Friends of the Clintons just killing themselves these days, apparently.
Yes. You know, if you're a friend of the Clintons and you're feeling suicidal, definitely reach out. There's hotlines out there to help you. So don't do it just because you've heard that another friend of the Clintons has killed themselves.
Right.
Possibly also, in a prison cell.
I mean, if you're going to kill yourself, just don't kill yourself for the Clintons.
Yeah.
Just kill yourself for, like... You know, because you're sad about something else.
That's right. That's right. But this is so. This is a very sensational thing to jump us into the film. This suicide of a politician.
Yeah, totally.
Up front, and then when we find out why, I thought that was really interesting because by the mid '90s, HIV was a little bit more understood and manageable. To the degree that like a Magic Johnson is still alive
right
today, having contracted it around that time.
Mm.
So this senator, I think it was just too hasty,
just
man.
Uninformed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also made me think that even today, our politicians who are old don't understand technology. Like there's Supreme Court justices that get their emails printed out.
Yeah.
Like nobody, they needed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to like lead a clinic on how to use Twitter for other Democratic politicians.
Right.
And it's like, you know, oh, and also why did Trump win? It's because he understood like hashtags and how to like at people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, so, and what Twitter was. Twitter
right.
was literally like not making profits for years before Trump took control.
Sure.
It legitimately, and like part of me, you talk about conspiratorial brains, part of me kind of thinks that that's what the meeting that was about went, because he had the CEO of, like, when he had gotten elected, between getting elected and getting inaugurated, he had the CEO of Twitter come and talk to him. Yeah. In all of those meetings that he had at Trump Tower. So part of me is like, all right, how can this work for both of us?
Yes.
Like, that thought occurred to me.
Sure. I mean, Twitter wouldn't exist without him. Yeah. So they're inextricably tied, like, yep, hand in hand. And he's the, what is it, the villain you loved it, that they love to hate, but they secretly just love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. This politicians don't understand tech. And that's always going to be a problem. And that is what the villain in this movie is sort of...
preying on.
Yeah, capitalizing on, right? Because this company, Cathedral, has hacked into airports. It's hacked into banks and the stock market.
Mainframes. It's hacked into mainframes. I love that word.
After the pandemonium with all the flight cancellations, this canceled, delayed, hijacked.
I know, right?
That was crazy. I would just be like, oh, trip's off, and just go back home. I'm not getting on a plane after whatever that cataclysmic mainframe disaster was.
Right.
I mean,
people probably didn't, but it was her first vacation in 6 years.
Right.
They could have said like 10. Maybe you would have bought it at 10.
Take an El Alto boost to the Yucatan. figure some other shit out. Planes are, you know, directly navigated by computers.
But I mean, if she's not taking vacations ever, then she could take a vacation to Anaheim. You know,
yeah,
she
yeah.
could have gone to Disneyland.
I mean, she lives on a beach. You know?
Sure.
But
so
she wanted an exotic beach.
Why?
You guys don't understand women.
I guess that's right.
She could have gone to Catalina Island.
She could have gone to Catalina, exactly.
Yeah, go see a domesticated buffalo herd and go on a glass bottom boat ride. There are bison, buffaloes, sure, same thing. Hanging out in Catalina.
Oh, really? In Catalina?
Yeah.
I know they're in San Francisco in the park, which is crazy. I heard about them for years, and then last time I was there a year ago, I saw them.
Uh-huh.
I was shocked.
So how many people die in private plane crashes?
A lot.
It feels like those are the only planes that really go. Sure, you get the Malaysian plane disappear.
Yeah.
But mostly.
Sure.
I love how casual that sounds. It's just, sure, you get one disappeared every once in a while. Like, major commercial airline with like hundreds of people on it. But like, besides those, it's all about the small planes.
Yeah, it's the Cessnas. Those are the ones going down right.
They seem problematic.
Because they're probably flown by a bunch of drunk, wealthy idiots.
I mean, not
who
that's
can
not
afford
wrong.
A plane?
Yeah,
I think Cessnas have taken more rock star lives than any other, than even heroin.
Right?
Yeah, R.I.P. Buddy Holly.
Yeah, and lots of them.
Richie Valens.
With Richie Valens, Randy Rhodes.
Fun fact:
Aaliyah.
The plane that they use in the net is actually the same plane that Buddy Holly went down in.
Oh,
is
my
really?
God!
No.
Well, he was.
Damn it.
Go back
can't,
and listen.
You can't do
yeah,
that
they
to
rebuilt
us.
It just for this movie.
That's all amazing.
Go back and listen to our La Bamba episode on the Richie Valens unfortunate plane crash.
Yeah.
His untimely demise.
So we talk about that on another episode. This episode, though, what else do we discuss? We talk a little bit about identity theft.
Yeah. This movie should have been called Identity Theft.
Sure. It also, when did The Fugitive come out? Because that's a trope.
Right before.
No, I think The Fugitive was
92 or 93.
Yeah, 92, yeah. Something like that.
But this whole trope of like sort of being framed and having, she's got to go and figure, and what is it? What do you call it when you reclaim her innocence? That's not the right word for
it. Exonerate herself?
She gets a special surgery that makes her a virgin again.
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh. No, that's not what it is.
Yeah, so Sandra Bullock has to go become a virgin again
yeah.
in this film.
She has to reclaim her identity,
that's
I
right.
think is what you were going for.
That's where I was at. And she gets... they do such a good job. The message in this film is don't trust the machines. And also that dumb people think the machines are always right.
Yeah, which...
You know? And what we give away so much of our common sense when we start... believing everything on Wikipedia or believing every headline.
Well, and we become the mother
Yes.
And we lose part of our memory because we trust that the machine will keep it for us.
Yeah, think about this now. If somebody just grabbed your phone and threw it in a bucket of water, how many, all of your contacts gone? Because you don't remember anybody's phone number anymore.
That's true. I don't remember anyone's phone number.
Neither do I.
One phone number.
If I got Alzheimer's, the only phone number I'd remember is my first phone in D.C.
Yeah, your parents' house number. That's I still remember that.
I would just be running down the streets just singing that number out loud over and over again. Mm-hmm. People would be like, who are you? And I'd be like, I don't know, but this
might help.
This jingle, call this number.
My mom has the same phone number that my dad had when I was... He had a cell phone since the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Your dad is fancy.
Yeah. I was like, well, I grew up in Bill Gates Town. Like I grew up in Bellevue, Washington. Yeah. So like technology, I feel like took off there earlier.
Probably.
And my dad was in sales for business machines. So he kind of like had to flash the wares, right?
Of course.
So, but yeah, he had the same number from like the mid 90s for a cell phone number. And my mom took it after he passed. So that is the one phone number that is active that I still know. That's it.
She still has that phone?
She
or that line?
She assumed his phone number when he died. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's, it's okay. He was a murderer. Do you feel better now?
No.
First person shooter games.
Yeah. He wasn't a murderer.
I didn't want to follow up there.
I was trying to jump in with this.
Is this movie about your life?
This I love that she plays games where she just shoots Nazis in the head for fun.
Wolfenstein
3D.
Yep.
Yeah, that was like an early first person shooter.
Yep.
The Earth's villain.
Yes.
I used to sit and watch my roommates play that game when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
Straight up. Oh, no, I guess it wasn't 3D if it was in the mid-90s. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a big one. I mean, in college, I think we all just played GoldenEye.
Yeah.
You know? Which was another 64. First-person shooter game. And, that's also fun to watch a woman playing a violent game, you know, breaking barriers, breaking stereotypes.
Edgy.
Probably has to do with why she's such a badass too. Sure. Through the whole movie.
She's got bloodlust.
Again, I love, Devlin's kind of just an idiot. And like,
he's
played down where I think the British accent makes him like that bad guy villain or whatever, where you're just like, oh, he knows exactly what he's doing. But he's kind of an idiot the whole time.
It's literally, he blunders murdering her like 50 times. Yes. He has every chance. He's within earshot. He hears every conversation. And he gets hit by a bottle on a boat and knocked out. Why she didn't kill him, I never understood.
She's not a murderer. She threw the gun overboard.
So one thing that I noticed with that gun is that he's wearing it for most of the time. And there, she's got her arms around his waist. Guns are heavy.
Yeah.
So if he's wearing this gun and he's not wearing it in a holster, he's just got it in a pocket or something, it's a lumpy thing. You can see, like bouncers see guns from a mile away.
Tic Tacs gun.
Yeah, you can't really hide having a gun on you unless it's like a tiny little.
You can now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make little ceramic guns.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to say, unless you've got like one of those tiny guns. Little baby guns.
Mm-hmm. Baby gun, like, like in Harlem Nights.
Yeah. Yeah, but the one that he has, and it's got a silencer on it, and silencers are going to add an extra 6 to 7 inches to that thing. So it's like a 12-inch just big weapon, murder weapon you've got on you the whole time. So
maybe she just thought that he was really excited.
The whole time.
She was like, oh my god, I don't usually do this, but
she's like, you know, sex.
Yeah, when in Yucatan.
Yeah. Went on a boat with a complete rando with British Duchovny.
With Captain America meets what was the other thing?
I didn't like any of those adjectives she used or analogies.
That's because you're not a woman.
I don't know who Schweitzer was. Sam Schweitzer?
Bert Schweitzer.
Bert Schweitzer.
Bert Schweitzer.
Bert Schweitzer? What? No.
Whatever. Was that like a computer programmer that she was really into? Or a singer songwriter.
Yeah, he was a thinker. Yeah, he was a philosopher, I think.
What?
I made that up completely. I assumed
from context, I think, when I was a kid.
Makes sense. I'd like a Jean-Claude Van Damme meets Heidegger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Basically. That's what every girl's dream is. Every smart girl's dream wishes that she could find a dude that's like super fit, but also a brilliant mind.
Yeah.
Just adopts, rescues puppies.
I get it. Core strength and dialectics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
So he is, his seduction is pretty, I liked watching it, and it actually took me one or two clues before I figured it out. But the fact that he's just mirroring everything that she's into, he's like, I'll have a Gibson.
Yeah.
And then she's like, right. Oh, that's my drink, you know? Yeah. And then they go up to I forgot, he says something about modems, maybe up front, computers.
He asks about what she's looking at, and then, because he calls her a hacker, he's like, well...
Yeah.
Is there ever a vacation?
Does she have like a long ass cord going from her computer all the way up to the beach cabana?
What was that?
It was a laptop.
A portable computer.
Sure, but did they?
There was a battery.
Yes, but to be connected to maybe I guess, but to be connected to the World Wide Web at that point.
Oh yes.
You still needed. It was all dial up.
Right. Yes. I think she was just probably doing some programming offline.
Yeah.
Like she didn't have Wi-Fi yet.
Mm-hmm. She didn't have Wi-Fi. But he in that moment. That you're talking about, what he does is he goes, are we ever really on vacation?
Right.
So right. He implies before it even starts.
Yeah, the line was business or pleasure. She goes, is there a difference?
And yeah, goes, that's why they're called different things.
Not for hackers. It's just pretty on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a hacker.
This
yeah.
also hacker. Came out the same year as Hackers.
Uh-huh.
The movie Hackers with Angelina Jolie.
I think my future movies around this time were Lawnmower Man and Strange Days. Strange Days was a little bit later. Those are like Strange Days is one where they've got
drugs, right?
Yeah, they've got a piece of technology where if I put this little CD scanner on my head, whatever it is that I experience is recorded onto this little mini CD, and then I can give that CD to anyone else to wear, and then they will. Through all of their five senses, basically experience whatever I did.
Gotcha.
So it's POV porn.
Yeah, interesting.
Basically. Yeah. So but that was blew me away when I saw it because this was before YouTube. This is before people were wearing GoPro cameras.
VR.
Yeah. But yeah, that one and Lawnmower Man, which was. A future where the internet is you just getting sucked into your telephone lines.
So funny. The thing that I always loved about 90s thrillers in general is that they were always like puzzle games.
Yeah.
Where it was always like, instead of fish out of water, which happens in like rom-coms or like whatever, other genres of film, it was always the fish out of water was the person that wasn't in the conspiracy. And they had to figure out what the fuck was happening. And I just loved that so much. For me, that was POV porn.
Yes.
Where it was like, I would empathize with the character. Because a lot of times in the 90s, it was a woman. Where in other genres, it wouldn't be the case.
Yeah. These movies all are like a conspiracy theory movie like this just makes me think of two terms. Gaslighting and gang stalking. And gaslighting is when you're, you know, it's the idea that... everyone's telling you you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the whole world is, in fact, gaslighting our girl Sandra Bullock in this.
Yeah.
And then when it's multiple people doing it, that's gang stalking.
Oh.
So if you've got a conspiracy of like five or six people who are all trying to make somebody crazy. Yeah.
Oh my God. I just like imagined that happening.
That's
That sounds awful.
Whenever the police are on a stakeout. That's gang stalking.
Oh my gosh.
Writer and director, I think, not the director, but one of the writers worked on, did The Game a couple of years later, which was literally about...
Oh, did they? Yeah. I loved that so much. We were talking about how much we loved The Game earlier.
Great movie.
Yeah. This is also another fun fact. The guy that directed this... Irwin Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys heard, but...
I just thought it was Fonzie.
There was a The Net 2.0.
And his son is the director, right?
And his son directed it. Yeah, kept it in the family.
Sure. Hey, this is my legacy.
Yeah, it's the net.
It's a by-the-numbers thriller.
Yeah.
Right, with a lot of outdated computer references in it.
Yeah.
So
this was considered one of the like most accurate computer or tech thrillers at the time, where it had a Who Is reference. It had some stuff that hadn't been mentioned in other tech sort of oriented movies.
And data mining is a huge thing in this too that exists today. The fact that they could easily manipulate her so well, like this guy's seduction of her in the Yucatan, just on like, oh, you like Gibsons. Okay, well, here's a personal anecdote for you about loneliness and how I'm a cat. And then these things get her on board. Or what's your favorite movie? I love Weekend at Tiffany, Breakfast at Tiffany's, just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted a James Bond, so he's got a British accent.
Yep.
And all of these things are like, if you know this, Cambridge Analytica was doing this with everyone's data to then target campaign ads specifically towards them to get them to vote the way they wanted them to.
Oh my God, can I tell you? I just watched, I read a Fox News article the other day. Just, it was completely unrelated to politics or anything like that, of course. But, I read one Fox News article, and Trump advertised to me on my my Facebook today.
Yes,
that is how that happens. I did a similar thing. I opened one because the headline made me laugh, and then I looked at it, and then 2 weeks later, I get robocalls, or not even two. I'm sorry, 2 days later, robocalls from the Trump campaign asking me stuff, like, and then emails, predation information. That's how they get you.
Yeah. And the Cambridge Analytica on this documentary, they were looking for people who were undecided.
Right.
So you're like, they're like, okay, younger guy clicking on this for the first time. Like you're going to there. That's where the targeting would be.
Are you Republican curious?
The ad that I saw was for a approval survey.
Mm.
So yeah. this is what he targeted. He was like, basically, the campaign is asking me to fill out a survey about how much I approve of Trump. That was the verbiage.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not even offering me the opportunity to not approve.
Right. Right.
In their language.
So tell me four things that you love about me.
Yeah, basically. Like, aren't I awesome?
Yeah.
Please fill out this survey.
Well, that's how I would always frame things with students in the classroom at the end of the day, upon reflection, I would never give them the opportunity to complain. I'd be like, so tell me one thing that you remember that you liked about class today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always leaving them in a positive frame of mind.
Yeah. So you are Donald Trump is what you're telling me.
I am. I work for the PSYOPs companies that are manipulating people. All right. Any final thoughts on this movie? Anything like, would you recommend it? Would you make anything better? Anything that doesn't hold up?
I mean, for me, it's mainly a nostalgia button. So it's like, it hits everything that I love in the stories that I write as well as read as well as everything. I just really enjoy, I enjoy strong, empowered women. I enjoy things from my childhood. I enjoy puzzle games.
Yeah.
I enjoy, like, it's, and I enjoyed Jurassic Park when the dude said clever girl. So I'm like all about it. I don't know if I would recommend to people who grew up in the 90s and like watched these types of films.
Yeah. Right.
I would recommend they watch it because it literally is just like every trope. It hits every step of the way. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend somebody watch it from like that grew up, that was born like 15 years ago or 20 years ago, you know?
They'd just laugh at us.
Yeah.
They'd be
like, old people, they don't get it. That's not what technology is.
Yeah, it's like watching this today is like watching someone who a movie about the advent of rotary phones.
Oh my God, great idea. I'm gonna write it.
And like and they're like, well, how do we personify the sounds and words going through these wires from one end of the country to the other? And then they just dress people up as electrodes.
That's actually an interesting story idea, because you can do I mean there's a market for it. Talk about a problem. Like, a lot of people are feeling forgotten right now, and they don't have entertainment that addresses them.
Yeah.
Even though they have the most time every day that's just free. Old people have nothing to do, and they have no movies that are written for them anymore.
I was watching Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai YouTube, and Johnny, he was like cool back in the day, and so he never really learned how to use computers in the 80s and 90s. And so he's getting a laptop.
Funny.
He gets a laptop from a pawn shop. And it's like an old Dell laptop.
That's hysterical.
And he like opens it. He takes it back and he's like, it doesn't turn on. What are you guys, idiots? You know what? And the pawn shop owner like opens it and just presses the on button. And he's like, it didn't work before. And then, you know, he just doesn't comprehend how any of it works. And then it's like you watch him watching searching Google for the first time, and it's like the innocence of how he searches for porn is just like. Big boobs, and then like all of these JPEGs like come onto the screen, and he's like blown away. Like, he can't believe that it's so easy to access.
Oh,
and then he's
God.
Like, what t-shirt contest? Just super wholesome.
That's adorable. Oh my God, that's so much fun.
1 week later, his search has become incredibly specific.
he's like tentacle porn.
He hasn't
exclusively
left the house for the entire week.
He's lost like 20 pounds and he's just gone and like dehydrated, pale,
right,
giant eyes,
glasses,
much like the octopuses that he wants to watch tentacle porn with.
Right.
He's really just searching for himself.
Yeah,
see how that
he's
works.
Like, finally, I see myself in the porn. I think about, like, I don't think I saw this movie when it came out, because I may have been skeptical of technology. I was like, I think I didn't get my first email until college.
Right.
You know, I had a computer, but I would just use it to like write my essays. My essays.
That's what I was doing in college. Like, you know, we just got it, typing papers and searching a little bit of stuff.
Yeah. And then I'd go to friends' houses that were a little bit more tech savvy, and they'd be like, okay, we got to dial up. And then you dial up, and then you'd wait, and then we'd be in a chat room.
Right.
And it would just be avatars like this movie. And was like, who are we talking to, and why are we talking to them?
Right.
I was straight up on forums in middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents caught me like emailing with some guy that said he was a kid. I believed it.
Yikes.
They were concerned, and they were like, no, you can't do this. You need to stop right now. But like, I already was Sandra Bullock when this movie came out. Like, legit. I was just like only communicating with people that I couldn't see or hear.
Yeah. Oh, you loved it.
Yeah. So this was like,
This was your lane.
Yeah.
And so I think I just didn't see this because it didn't have that that kinetic energy that something that like...
And the trailer was awful.
It was bad. I remember not being interested in this movie at all when it came. This is the first time I'd seen it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The name, the net.
Yeah.
Nothing about
generic.
It really... Now, looking back, I can see why it was popular, but I think it was polarizing at that moment, because if you weren't on that sort of like techno-utopian edge where you're like, yes, everything's going to be better now that we've got the internet. Mm-hmm.